That was 2,000 Light Years from Home by the Rolling Stones. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This is technically the night show, but also not really.
Not really.
I'm here with my guest, Abby Zaya.
Hello.
That was a perfect song. I'm like out of, it's Monday.
It's okay. We're getting back into it.
That was the perfect song to begin the 1967 in alphabetical order, you know, which is the theme of our show, where we go through every
acclaimed
song.
This hour period,
we're going to go through every song from 1967 in alphabetical order.
Every song from
1967 in alphabetical order.
Right.
And then we're going to rate them on a 1,000-point scale.
So true.
And that was 2,000 Light Years from Home. Thoughts?
Thoughts, I think, you know, very dramatic opening and, you know, closing to the song. Kind of gave me, like Fire on High, like Yellow, like creepy vibes. But then, like, it breaks into the, like, you know, the main part of the song, which I think is fun.
Yeah, it's like a good little, you know. It's a really, really well-executed, like, sort of creepy psychedelic song.
Yes. Very psychedelic vibes.
I really did not expect to like, I forget, It's the album, the Rolling Stones single collection. No. it's from the Rolling Stones album that was specifically in response to Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, right? And I really did not expect to like any songs from that album. I really thought that everything before they did... before that happened and after that happened was like where the Rolling Stones were actually good. But I actually didn't like their 1966 album Aftermath, which I really thought I would. And I like this a lot better. I'm going to give it like a 9.06.
Wow.
I really do think it's an amazing song. I think it's like one of those songs that really like executes on its ideas very well. And while it's like, it doesn't have a hook or anything, I don't think it really needs to.
Right. I think... my personal rating would be just shy of the 9 mark.
Sure.
Because, you know, rating it on personal enjoyment.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't my favorite, but I agree that it was executed very well.
I definitely have some bias there because, you know, my dad loves the Rolling Stones.
Fair.
Anyway, this is not the next song is not Seven Uhr Demont. Just to let you know about that one. It could have been.
But it's not.
It's definitely going to be Third Stone from the Sun by Jimi Hendrix, which I'm super excited about. I love Jimi Hendrix.
Me too.
He played the guitar.
Very well.
Pretty well, I would say. Anyway, that's this Third Stone from the Sun. it was an interesting listen. I honestly think it's like a really good song. True. It's just not particularly my vibe.
Right. How long is it?
It's 6 minutes and 42 seconds.
It's 6 minutes and 42 seconds of like very fantastic, fun guitar sounds.
Jam.
Of all the guitar sounds that you could, you know, think of. Very fun ones. But yeah, I mean, I think the length and the just the nature of the good music that it is, but the nature of it, like, you know, I don't know if it reaches nine.
Definitely doesn't reach nine territory for me.
Right.
I would say it reaches like sort of low eights.
Low eights is fair.
That's me.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's interesting that this was one of the top songs, I think.
Well, I mean, okay, there's like 379 songs.
Okay, true.
So
I wonder how many, like, what other ones from this album, maybe.
I mean, like, Hey Joe is already on there, right? Mm. And then, like, I already gave that one a 9 because I fucking love Hey Joe. This one was not even in the top 10,000 songs of all time. Like, this is just bubbling under that. So, probably, like, we can see, like, which sites ranked it, actually. This is so fun for me to do. Yeah, there was some good bass grooves, right? There was some cool, like, drum work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I enjoyed the...
But there wasn't a lot of, like... Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
There wasn't a lot of, like... It was just sounds, you know.
Not much to latch onto.
Yeah, yeah, but you gotta give me something.
If I, you know, like someone who uses substance would like if I were someone who uses substances,
which obviously
bad
no one at this college does.
No one at this college does any sort of substance.
Yeah.
But if I were one of those people, this song would make me want to.
Mm-hmm.
Use those substances
even more than you already were. Interesting.
Right, but I'd be using them while listening to this song.
Yeah. Yes. But what do we know? Because Eclipsed, the German journalist outfit, rated this song the number 3 Jimi Hendrix songs in 2013.
Shout out Germany.
Mark Ellingham rated it one of the 5,000 songs of playlists that you must download. But that's so that's that.
That's that. Thank you, Jimi Hendrix.
We're now going on. This is the song that you've all been waiting for, Seven Uhr Demat, by Jacqueline Taib. I have no idea what the song is. Let's get into it.
My generation. Ouais, c'est pas tout à fait ça. Je trouve plus ma brosse à dents. Quel passé celle-là encore? La bleue est à mon père. La rouge est à ma mère. La jaune est à mon frère. J'avais pas vu ma brosse à dents. D'anglais. J'aimerais bien avoir Paul McCartney pour m'aider. J'ai envie de mettre un 10 pour embêter les voisins qui roupillent toute la journée. Quelque chose comme un bon Elvis Presley. Oh, mais c'est vrai, celui-là, il en est resté. Le dodo c'est terminé. Je suis presque prête et ça va beaucoup mieux. Je mets mon Shetland rouge ou bien mon Shetland bleu? Mon Shetland rouge? Mon Shetland bleu? Mon Shetland bleu? Mon Shetland rouge? Ah, mon Shetland bleu. Le bleu,
That was Seven Uur Demont by Jacqueline Taib. I'm going to be honest, wasn't really listening to that one too much, but I caught a little bit of it, and I don't think I really needed to. It was a fun little rocky rock.
Yeah, you know? It was fun. I liked it. And then the part, the generation, whatever. Yeah. I was like, oh, I know this. But just that part.
Well, yeah, because it was from the Who's My Generation.
Mm-hmm. But then the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's the whole thing. The whole rest of it. And it's the French Mademoiselle.
The French Mademoiselle. Jacqueline Taib.
Bonjour.
So I'm going to say that that's probably in the seven range. It's good.
Yeah, seven range.
Is it great? No. It's a good fun rock song. It's indicative of the way that rock is changing in the year 1967. Mm. But much like the other songs from France in that signify that rock is changing, it just does not get up there to me, you know?
Yeah, no.
So we're going to give it like a 7 point. We're going to like give it a little bit of credit. We're going to give it 7.98.
Yeah, and then my move 7.
On to the next song, Seven Rooms of Gloom, single version mono. I have high hopes for this song because it's by Four Tops. I really like Four Tops. Let's go. I see a house. Shut up. We didn't start. I don't know what you're talking about. I see a house of stone, a lonely house, 'cause now you're gone. Seven rooms, that's all it is, seven rooms of gloom. I live in emptiness without your tenderness. You took the dream. Go off.
That was phenomenal.
Go off.
I just have to say, definitely great song.
I kind of wish it went like longer.
Same. I want more, but also like, yeah, no, I really, that was good.
It was very good.
I put it on my own radio show.
Yeah, no, that's why I like this whole project so much. It just, yeah, damn.
Like, yeah. Like, I like it so much, I want to listen to it again and share it on my radio show.
Yeah,
you know?
You should do that.
That's how you know it's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did that with another Four Tops song, actually. Well, maybe not. I did that with a... We don't have to get into...
Okay. We could.
We could, but I forget.
Okay.
But yeah, no, that's going to be up there for sure for me.
Yeah, for me too.
Definitely better than Shantytown, which is the highest rated song so far.
What does Shantytown have?
9.44. I listened to Shantytown like 7 times. Like, it's not like that good, but it's so good.
But it's good for you.
You have to understand how good Shantytown is. I'm putting Shantytown on my next radio show. Anyway.
Seven Rooms of Gloom.
Above that, I would say it breaks 9.5.
I agree. I was really enjoying it.
Yeah. Let's give it a 9.6. That's all. A 9.6.
9.6.
Just a 9.60. The next one that we're going to play is a song that I've heard while doing this project probably a lot. It's A Change Is Gonna Come by Aretha Franklin. But this time by Aretha Franklin.
Right.
Because you've heard it by Sam Cooke, and you've heard it by Otis Redding. Now you're gonna hear it by Aretha Franklin. A Change Is Gonna Come.
Enjoy.
Don't enjoy.
There's an old friend that I once heard say something that touched my heart, and it began this way. Just like the river, I've been running ever since. He said it's been a long time coming, but I know my change is gonna come. Oh yeah. Thank you.
Aretha Franklin's good.
She's just so good.
And further, 1967, we're quickly realizing why this is often said is one of the best like years in music, for sure. Like, you know, already in the radio show, which will take around 26 hours to complete, we've heard the Rolling Stones, Jimi Hendrix, Four Tops, and Aretha Franklin. And they've all been like,
boom,
you know, quality.
Bow, bam.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they've been.
So.
It's good.
Why are you so embarrassed by that? That was good. It was good. Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's good. So a little background on the song. It was, if you know this song, it was written and performed first by Sam Cooke in 1964 in response to criticisms by Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X that he wasn't contributing to the civil rights movement. And there was a big gap in music at that time because Nina Simone hadn't been starting. So that sort of kicked out the musical aspect of the civil rights movement by black people, because you had Bob Dylan, you know, blowing in the wind, but not anything by a black artist. Sam Cooke sparked that. And then, of course, Nina Simone, Otis Redding, and further Aretha Franklin followed. But Aretha Franklin didn't follow very soon, because her framing of this song, very interestingly, sort of depoliticizes by putting it in the sense not of improvement for a change that's going to come for, like, you know, the black community in the civil rights era, but rather for her herself. You know, asking like the person is her father. She's supposedly talking about. I don't know. That's interesting to me, because it's most likely because, like, I don't want to assume, but it's most likely because one, she wanted to, you know, either she wanted to like focus on her own artistic achievement rather than a broader goal, which is fine, you know, do whatever, like go off. Or she wanted to like sell better, you know, because it wasn't until 1967 she really broke out. I don't know. What's your take, Abby?
I'm hearing this all for the first time, so I'm just taking it in. But
fair enough.
Interesting. I think it's very interesting.
Very interesting. Anyway, it was a really good song.
You know,
I would say it goes in the nines. It's just hard. It's hard because Aretha Franklin is like one of the best vocalists of all time.
Right. So like, how could she not be in the nines?
In the nines. You know? Yeah. And like, that was a really, really solid performance. There's things I didn't like about that cover personally, just because I love Sam's Cooke's. I gave Sam Cooke's version a 10.
Mm.
So like, it's not going to get, you know, even close to that.
Yeah.
But I think I will give it a 9.19. You heard it here first. And as we continue on the list of bangers, the next one is literally, where is it though? What?
It's literally.
What?
Where is it though?
Where is it though? This is so interesting.
Where is it though? What is it?
I mean, like, I can find it here. Maybe. Like, it's here, right?
It's there.
But I'm sorting alphabetically.
Mm.
Anyway, It's A Day in the Life by the Beatles. You know, one of the probably the best Beatles song of all time. It's fine. So yeah, this is A Day in the Life by the Beatles.
Stood and stared.
won the war. A crowd of people turned away, but I just had to look.
That was A Day in the Life by the Beatles. Definitely my favorite weird Beatles song of all time. Definitely one of my favorite Beatles songs of all time. But I like, you know, like
more creepy stuff.
I would say like
the creepy stuff is always good.
Yeah, no, I like it. It was definitely like it was a very good match of Paul McCartney and John Lennon's talents. It is a good like it, the thematic things are very good. It's like it's one of those songs that like the beginning of the song, like you become numb to absurdity to a point when you like live through it all the time in the news cycle, But like that song, for whatever reason, just always like allows me to like really just be, you know, to like appropriately mourn the fact that the absurdity exists, you know, and like we should not be living in the time where like a House of Lords, you know, gets, you know, in a crash because he was on like cocaine or something. You know, that's just sad. We live in a very sad world. And however absurd that situation may be, it's like, you know, it's just sad. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to give that a probably a 9.98. One of my favorite songs of all time.
Wow. Crazy.
I feel bad for those sort of songs because I've heard them before. I already know my opinion on them. But I'm still going to rate them the way I'm going to rate them.
Don't feel bad for them. Feel good. Feel happy for them.
It's just where is it on the list?
Yeah, it's weird. I wish you guys could see. The list is just messed up.
It's a little jank. Little jankers.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I know what it is. That's fine. The next song is A Girl Like You. I don't know who it's by. It's by the Young Rascals. I don't know who that is, but we'll find out. Are you okay?
I keep dropping a Lysol can. It's okay.
This guy's gonna
like
get mad at you.
A Girl Like You by the Young Rascals.
I don't know what it's all about, but I feel I'll soon find out. I'm sure I never felt this secure. It's nothing like I ever thought it would be. Someone opened up a door for me. A girl like you.
Can't give all of these nines.
I know, but it's feeling like
that would be offensive.
It's feeling like 1967 is a very good
is simply
year
good year
for music.
Yeah, that was pretty good. They just know how to do a good pop song.
It was good. I liked it. I really enjoyed listening to it.
Yeah, me too. I definitely listened to it.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not gonna give it a 9 though. I don't know.
I feel
I don't
like
know.
It, like
maybe I should.
Like if it's not a 9, it's definitely like an 8.99.
Yeah, let's like think about it for a little bit.
Yeah, we'll think about it.
This is us thinking about it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. I'll give it a 9.
Woo!
9.1.
Another 9 for 1967.
They're almost all 9s.
You know what? This
It's just how it works out, you know?
Yes.
Now, the next one is going to teach us a lesson.
It's always fun because I never know what the next song is, but Travis always does.
I always know. I never know who it's by, but I know the names. Today's lesson is that a house is not a motel.
By Love.
On the incredibly acclaimed album Forever Changes, 1967, this is A House Is Not a Motel by Love.
At my house I've got no shackles. You can come and look if you want to. Through the halls you'll see the mantles where the light shines dim all around you. And the streets are paved with gold. And if someone asks you, you can call my name. You are just a thought that someone somewhere somehow feels you should be here. And it's so for real to touch, to smell, to feel, to know why you are here. And the streets are paved with gold. And if someone asks you, you can call my name. You can call my name. I hear you calling my name. Singing, the bells from the schools of walls will be ringing. More confusions, blood transfusions. The news today will be the movies for tomorrow. And the waters turn to blood. And if you don't think so, go turn on your tub. And if it's mixed with mud, you see it turn to gray. Then you can call my name. I hear you calling my name.
Was Love with A House Is Not a Motel.
Was it a 9? Yes.
Another one.
We found another one.
Another one.
I just really liked it. I really liked it.
I liked it too, and it's so good. And the little guitar solo action at the end.
Yeah, at the end was so, and the drum solo at the end before the guitar.
Good.
And I love the lyrics. Like I like the news for today will be the movies for tomorrow. I think it's a really good line.
Yeah.
And like the I hear you call my name is I don't know. I like something about that line.
I just like it. It feels good to listen to. Like even like before the you know bursting into the solos and stuff. Like the running guitar under the lyrics. Mm-hmm. It's just very, and his voice is very good too. At least, like, pleasing to listen to me at least.
Yeah. I agree. The underlying guitar, like that the finger picking he does, there's really good.
Really good. And, like, you don't miss it. Listen for that because it's good. It's so good.
Don't sleep on love.
I've been sleeping on love.
Yeah, you have really haven't heard this album.
I really haven't heard anything from Love, I don't think.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. May be a song that like I know, but I have never known that it's Love.
We can have a little fun little thing here then. So this song?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's gotta love. And everybody's gonna die. Everybody just wanna have a good time. I think you know the reason why.
That took me a little longer to admit that it took a while for me to find that song, but that is actually a cover of another Love song. Actually, it's more of a Arthur Lee solo song, which is the lead singer of Love, but it's this song. I'm so wrong. So wrong.
Everybody's gotta live. And everybody's gonna die. Everybody's gotta live. I think you know the reason why.
That's a fun fact.
That's a fun fact.
Yeah.
Fun. Anyway.
Very
both
good.
Of those songs would get nines.
Just in case you were wondering.
Maybe we'll get there. Maybe we'll get all the way to Mac Miller.
Maybe we will.
Probably not.
How old will we be? Older.
I'll probably be like 80 or something. I'm going to get through this gosh darn project if it kills me. Hopefully it won't.
It won't kill you.
So that's that. That was a little sidetrack, but I really like that band, and you should listen to the whole album.
I think I will.
It's got some, like, it's a slow burner. It takes a while to, like, get into. Anyway, I'm going to say that a house is not a motel is going to be, like, a 9.58. That's my take.
Nice.
The next song is A Little Bit Me, and it's also A Little Bit You by The Monkees.
Talk down things, you'll be okay. Girl, I don't wanna fight.
I have no patience for the Monkees not producing a 9 out of 10 song.
Pause.
It's they couldn't hear it. It's fine.
Yeah. It's a little sad to break the streak that we had.
That's okay.
But, you know, everyone has to lose the streak eventually.
Yeah, it's like an 8.57. It was a good song.
Yeah.
Great song even. Yeah. Like it was a really good tune.
Yeah, you go.
I had fun little organs.
Right. And it's also fun to, you know, imagine what the situation is.
Yeah.
What is a little bit you and what is a little bit me?
We wouldn't know that because that's not what we did while we listened to the song. We were focusing really hard.
We were focusing really hard, not at all imagining the
potential
scenarios.
But I'm sure if you wanted to.
Yeah, it would probably be fun.
Yeah.
Moving on. The next track.
The next track. What is the next track, Abby?
I don't know.
It's a whiter shade of pale.
It's a wire shade of pale.
A whiter shade of pale.
I heard a wire, but it is a whiter.
It's a whiter shade of pale.
A whiter shade
by
of pale.
Procol Harum.
Okay, go off Procol
60s
Harum.
Gold.
Go off Procol Harum.
Go off Procol Harum.
All right, enjoy.
Later. she said there is no reason. And the truth is plain to see. But I wander through my playing cards.
That was A Whiter Shade of Pale by Procol Harum, a band named after a Burmese cat belonging to a friend of the group's manager. It is believed to mean beyond these far-off things in misspelled Latin.
I'm not going to lie, the song kind of affected me.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like I don't think it's a 9 for me, but like...
It's up
I've
there.
Really enjoyed it, and like I could see myself like being in my bag listening to it.
Yeah,
but like not even like it's not just like straight up sad, but like it's like I don't know, it affected me, and I don't know why.
Yeah, it's like it's a sort of short film, really trying to conjure up mood, and I'm reading off the Genius page because I wanted to know what the song is about, but it doesn't tell me. Anyway.
There's characters.
There's characters. And there's a location. And a journey.
And there's a journey.
Anyway, like the best, a very interesting part about this project that is happening is I get to like find out how like different methods of songwriting evolve, right? Mm. And songwriting is one of those methods because like this is a pretty regular songwriting by our standards, but by the standards of the time, things were just very straightforward.
Yeah,
you know?
Like thinking back to like songs about like never mind, I can't think of a good example, but like yeah, like sometimes the songs just didn't have a journey.
Yeah,
but like
The lyrics were like, you know, they could tell a story, but it was direct, you know.
Right.
And, you know, songs now, like, try to conjure up images rather than, like, telling you something, like show, don't tell type of deal.
Right.
This song does a great job of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was, like, 8.92, probably.
8.92. I would say that, too. I would say high 8.
Are you excited for one of my favorite songs of all time?
Yes.
Is it though? We'll see.
I don't know. Is it?
Oh shoot! We didn't start it. The song is "Ain't No Mountain High Enough" by Marvin Gaye. So you know, I just like how he does the thing. Let's see if I still like the song.
There in a hurry.
Okay.
That was, you know what that was.
You know.
You know what that was.
It's a classic.
It is a classic.
It's a classic. It's a classic. I don't need to say anymore.
It's a classic. It's a classic.
Other than it's a classic. A classic. That's a 9. It's like an, I don't know, 9.9.
Like 9.9?
9.95, probably.
9.95, probably.
I really like it.
Yeah. No, yeah. Who wouldn't? Who doesn't?
It's, yeah. It's good.
It's good.
Next song is by The Doors.
Alabama song.
You know The Doors, Abby?
I do know The Doors, but not super well.
Me neither.
Alabama.
Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. For if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die.
A great song.
I'm very uncomfortable.
What a,
personally,
it's probably a 10.
Personally, it's a 1. It gave me all of the bad vibes, and I think you have to give some credit because that was probably definitely the intention.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, you know, uncomfortable and creepy and dark. And it succeeded. So that's good on you, The Doors. But also bad on you because my heart rate.
She's not creepy. Scared of clowns.
The funny thing is, nowhere does it mention clowns.
Yeah,
but it just gave such strong clown vibes, and it's terrifying.
It's very...
Even though I'm not afraid of clowns.
Even though you're not afraid of clowns, it still terrifies. What happens if I do this? What happens if...
What are your thoughts on the song? We do have to actually read it.
I really liked it, to be honest. I thought it was very interesting. I thought that the repurpose of the old German poem from, like, because obviously we know why they're gonna die if they don't find the next boy. It's because they won't have money.
Yeah.
And they die of...
Yeah.
That's how they make their living.
Yeah.
But... The repurposing of that poem for this, like, really weird thing about just, like, having a bunch of sex and drinking in Alabama is super interesting to me.
Sweet.
I think probably it's... I don't want it on my playlist. Let me be real.
Yeah.
I do think it's going to be an 8.8...
That's so interesting.
8.88, though. Yeah, I really liked it. I really, really liked it.
I feel like it's a 7.2 for me.
That's fair enough.
That's pretty generous, I have to say.
No, it was, I just, I don't
for
know.
Me,
I just,
after, if we're doing it based on enjoyment.
Yeah, which we are.
The sweat on my palms, you know, definitely take it down a couple notches.
Are you like, do you not like going to like haunted houses?
No, I mean, I've been to a haunted house once.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun, but.
Okay.
I don't know. This was just extra creepy to me.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next song. Though.
No hate, though. The Doors. Maybe a little bit of hate.
Also, I was exaggerating. My palms actually aren't that sweaty. Mom's spaghetti. Know.
She jumped up on the table like a cat.
Don't expose me like that.
Algeria, Caetano Veloso. Yep. And then our last song of the night, and then we leave.
Yeah, it's been a good show.
The last song is 18 minutes and 37 seconds.
What? Oh, holy cow.
I've already listened to it very recently, so I just want to show you all and also Abby like what the song is.
Yeah.
And then we'll cut it short, you know. But anyway, Algeria, Catano.
Caminhando contra o vento, sem lenço, sem documento, no sol de quase dezembro. O sol se reparte em crimes, espaçonaves, guerrilhas, em cardinais bonitas. Eu vou em caras de presidentes, em grandes beijos de amor, em dentes, pernas, bandeiras, bomba e Brigitte Bardot. O sol nas bancas de revista me enche de alegria. E preguiça, quem lê tanta notícia? Eu vou por entre fotos e nomes, os olhos cheios de cores, o peito cheio de amor. Sem casamento, e eu nunca mais fui à escola, sem lenço, sem documento. Eu vou, eu tomo uma Coca-Cola. Ela pensa em casamento, e uma canção me consola. Eu vou, por entre fotos e nomes, sem livros e sem fuzil, sem fome, sem telefone. Sem lenço, sem
Here's the thing, Algeria, yep. Algeria.
First of all, anyway.
you know, I didn't enjoy it that much. I think I really wanted it. I wanted to like be like, I want to dance to this. But like I never opened up into something more exciting that made me like, yes, I can mm-hmm. I can dance to this. Like I imagine myself getting up and starting to dance and it just being a very like sad like
yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
I get that perspective a lot. I liked it, to be honest. I really liked it. I thought the songwriting was really good and it would definitely score higher on my score if like I thought the ending faltered quite a bit. His vocals really did not hit those last high notes when they really needed to. But it's an 8.43. I think it is a great song. I really like the songwriting.
8.43 is fair, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Anyway, this song is Alice's Restaurant Massacre? Anyway. It's 18 minutes, 37 seconds, and you need to listen to all of it, or you're kicked off the show. The listener, to kick off the show. This is our last song, so you're listening to WGH 104.9 FM Lafayette College radio station, Eastern Pennsylvania. I don't know what we're going to call this show.
TBD.
We need to figure it out.
TBD.
But this has been all songs from 1967 in alphabetical order.
Alphabetical order.
This song is called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song. And that's why I call the song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago, it was on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving, when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant. She lives in the church nearby the restaurant, in the bell tower with her husband Ray and Fasha the dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump. Well, we got there, and there's a big sign and a chain across the dump saying closed on Thanksgiving. And we had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before, and with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one till we came to a side road, and off the side of the side road was another 15-foot cliff, and at the bottom of the cliff was another pile of garbage. And we decided that one big pile is better than two little piles, and rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning when we got a phone call from Officer Obie. Said, kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage, and wanted to know if you had any information about it. And I said, yes, sir, Officer Obie, cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage. After speaking over for about 45 minutes on the telephone, we finally arrived at the truth of the matter and said that we had to go down and pick up the garbage and also had to go down and speak to him at the police officer station. So we got in the red VW microbus with the shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, headed on toward the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one or two things that Obi could have done at the police station, and the first was that he could have given us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it. Another thing was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't even counted upon, and we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. And I said, Obi, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on. He said, shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car, and that's what we did. Sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the, quote, scene of the crime, unquote. I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this happened. Here they got three stop signs, two police officers and one police car. But when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars, being the biggest crime of the last 50 years, and everybody wanted to get in the newspaper story about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment that they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plaster, tire track, footprints, dog smelling prints, and they took 27 8x10 color glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. Took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner, the southwest corner, and that's not to mention the aerial photography. After the ordeal, we went back to the jail. Obi said he was gonna put us in the cell. Said, kid, I'm gonna put you in the cell. I want your wallet and your belt. And I said, Obi, I can understand you want my wallet, so I don't have any money to spend in the cell, but what do you want my belt for? And it said, kid, we don't want any hangings. Said, Obi, did you think I was gonna hang myself for littering? Obi said he was making sure, and friends, Obi was, because he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. And he took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll, and have an escape. Obi was making sure, and it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? It's a song about Alice. Alice came by with a few nasty words to Obi on the side, bailed us out of jail. We went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, and didn't get up until the next morning when we all had to go to court. Then sat down. Obi came in with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back each one. Sat down. Man came in, said, all rise. We all stood up, and Obi stood up with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures, and the judge walked in, sat down with the CNI dog, and he sat down. We sat down. Obi looked at the CNI dog. Then the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and looked at the CNI dog. And then the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and began to cry, because Obi came to the realization that it was a typical case of American blind justice and there wasn't nothing he could do about it. And the judge wasn't going to look at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. And we was fined $50 and had to pick up the garbage in the snow, but that's not what I came to tell you about. Came to talk about the draft.